If your morning starts with snap, crackle, pop, and it's not your cereal, call Joint Relief Institute for fast-lasting joint pain relief. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000.
But also this morning, we wanted to pay tribute to a dear Chicagoan that we lost this week, the great Marshall Brodeen, who played Wizzo, the wacky wizard Wizzo, on Bozo Circus and the Bozo Show, passed away this past Friday morning. Complications of Alzheimer's. Lived with Alzheimer's disease for over a decade and passed away. And boy, what a legacy that he left us with not only his work on the Bozo Show as Wizzo, but as a magician here in the Chicago area, as a hypnotist. You know, he started off as a teenager doing magic in nightclubs, at private parties, at county fairs, any place where he could do magic. He loved magic. It defined his life.
It's easy when you know the secret.
He developed the great TV magic cards that we probably all had, a deck of. And on top of all that, just the best guy, most wonderful, sweet guy that there possibly could be. He started off doing appearances on the Bozo Show in 1962, and then gradually became the Wizzo character on the show, and was that character from 1968 until he left the show in 1994. Part of that time overlapped with when Professor Andy Mitran took over as the musical director of the Bozo Show, 1987 until the show went off the air in 2001. And Andy Mitran joins us on the phone line right now. Andy, good morning.
Good morning, Dean. It's great to be with you.
How are you feeling, first of all? Andy has had the flu this week, and are you back amongst the
I'm the mend, Dean. Thank you so much for asking. It's very sweet.
What are your best memories of Marshall? I know that you and your wife, Louise, were very close with Marshall off camera, and his amazing, very dedicated wife, Mary. What are your best memories?
Oh, gosh. There's, the thing about Marsh was that he always paid very close attention to everyone he was with. He always wanted them to feel entertained and happy. And just a couple examples. There was, years ago, I had done some music for the Chicago White Sox. And as part of my deal, they gave me Skybox so that I could bring some family, friends, and clients and entertain and do some marketing. And I invited Marshall. And he didn't know anybody in the box. And he had them all in the palm of his hand by the third inning, and I don't think they watched the ball game. He was making himself levitate, and he made some woman's wedding ring appear in his keychain, and it was like, and they were just wrapped. But that's how he was. I was at lunch with Marshall one time, and he was telling me how important it was to have some tricks so that you could keep people happy. And he was trying to teach me this trick he had with this. He would take, $6 bills, and then he'd turn it over, and then it would be six $20 bills. And, he would go back and forth. And he was telling me how to do it. You got to glue these things. And, and it just, he wanted me to be able to share the same kind of gifts he had. Another time, I remember our longtime producer on the show, Al Hall, had been in one of several bike accidents he'd had over the time I'd known him. And he was in the hospital, and he was recovering, and Marshall and I went up to see him. And same story. We visited Al for about 5 minutes, and then the nurse came in, and he did like some magic trick for her, and then she brought two other nurses in. And before you knew it, the whole floor was in Al's room, and he was just having them eat out of the palm of his hand, because he made them happy, and that's what made him happy.
That's really what made him happy. He enjoyed nothing more than to see a smile on your face or to make you laugh. Andy, how many times did he show you a picture in his wallet of his pride and joy?
Oh, he gave me a couple. I still have them. Yeah,
he had that card.
He would, he would say, "Oh, wait, hey, Dean, ooh, did I show you a picture of my pride and joy?" And you think it's going to be his grandkids or something, and he takes a picture out of his wallet that he always carried with him. It was a bottle of Joy liquid detergent and Pride furniture oil. Just to get a laugh from you, just to get a groan from you, and it always worked.
I like how Andy calls him Marsh. How cool is that?
Marsh.
Me and Marsh. Yeah. Me and Marsh.
Well, it's your co-workers.
Yeah.
Your co-workers.
Go ahead.
Andy, talk to me a little bit about when you joined the show. Because, at the point that you joined in 1987, he had been doing the show for almost 20 years, more than 20 years in some cases. You're the new kid coming in. How were you received?
Well, when you had mentioned earlier, he started on the show in 1962, and that was the year I was born.
Wow.
So I had grown up watching him, and there was a lot of when I got the job to do music on the Bozo show, I got hired kind of last at the last minute, even though I had auditioned months before, and I was kind of altered, preparing kind of through a sleepless weekend to get ready to start production on Monday, and I was setting up for a rehearsal, camera rehearsal, and I hear these voices, and I look up, and it's Cookie and Wizzo standing in front of me, and I was 5 years old again. But it did take them a little while to warm up to me, and I can understand it because there had been a band, a very big band on the Bozo show at the beginning. There was a 13-piece orchestra under Bob Trendler, and over the years, the band winnowed down to three members, accordion player, a trumpet player, and a drummer. And the accordion player, Don Orlando, had just passed away the year before I was brought on, and the station wanted to go a different direction and do something more modern. And so I auditioned and came in, and they felt like, that their friends lost a great job, which it was a great job. And there were only two of them left, though, and honestly, there isn't a lot you could do with a trumpet player and a drummer. So they were a little cool at first, but it really changed, and they became very, very dear friends.
Tell me a little bit about Marshall, the man, the off camera, the person himself, because I feel very fortunate, I think very similar to you, of growing up watching the show. And then not being a part of it as you were, but to be able to become friends with Bob Bell and Ray Rayner and Don Sandberg and Roy Brown, to actually get to know these guys, not as performers, on their on-air personas, but just as guys. I feel very fortunate to know what wonderful men they were and family men.
Absolutely. Marshall always talked about his family and loved them very, very much, and but he also loved just mixing it up with other people. I mean, he'd say, I have deals, I have deals, and it's because he just loved to get involved with other people and see if he could build something together with them or make a deal or do something. And as many people may or may not know, he was quite an entrepreneur, and he had great success selling TV magic cards first in the 60s, and then it went on, and he was very successful with that, and he became very successful, and it went into real estate, and he became a wealthy man. And but he always used to say, I don't care, I just need enough money to pay my bills. And there was a humility there that I always admired.
Yep, absolutely.
And he was one of the people, he enjoyed his life.
He sure did. He enjoyed every second. And that's, part of the tragedy of Alzheimer's disease, with anybody of Alzheimer's disease, somebody who is so full of life and so wonderful that being robbed of their personalities while, this disease is so cruel. That takes the person's personality away from them, not only for the person who has the disease itself, but for the family members who are watching their loved ones fade away like that.
It's devastating. And I had a grandmother who died of Alzheimer's, being about 15 years in, and it was just a very hard, terrible thing. My mother suffered with it, and we all did. And I know that Mary Brodeen had you know, just taken great care of him, and I just can't imagine what she's gone through.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Andy, we appreciate you joining us to remember your old pal, Marshall Brodeen.
Anytime, Dean. Really, what a great... He would always say, you know, about other people, you know, oh, he's one of the all-time great guys.
Right.
And Marshall right. was one of the all-time great
Truly.
Guys.
Truly.
Can I ask Andy really quick what years he went to St. Pat's High School?
That's what I was going to say. That
we're both Shamrocks, Andy.
Are we?
Well, yeah.
Well, I graduated in 80.
I graduated in 82, so we were in the halls of St. Pat's at the same time.
We most certainly were.
Very cool.
Wow, that, try to hold your enthusiasm down a little bit.
Yes.
Here's the thought bubble in Andy's head right now.
First of all, A, who's talking to me?
Right.
And B, who cares?
That's first. And now, who am I a co-Shamrock with?
Yeah, my name is Jim Toronto. And
Jim.
Yeah, and we were Shamrocks together. I graduated in 82.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Now you graduated before I was voted most popular student in 1982. So that's probably one reason why you don't remember me.
I was best dressed. So there.
We all have our claims to fame.
Well, this has been a beautiful reunion between you two.
Wow, that was scary. Sorry, Andy.
Andy, thanks so much for thanks for joining us. Continue
right,
to feel better from the flu. Andy Matran, Professor Andy. A quick break, and we'll check in with meteorologist Mike Hammernick coming up next, WGN.